Since it's just passed, as a matter of fact, I am actually on the date beginning this recording for this year's summer solstice. But let's talk a little bit about it. From this point on this year, in case you don't know, the daylight hours are going to start getting shorter. But don't worry, there's plenty of long days left to enjoy. One of the best things about summer are the extra hours of daylight, and the summer solstice is the ultimate day in that regard. Although it may seem to many of you that the summer is just really getting started, actually the days will start to get shorter from here on out. The next thing you know, before you even think, well, I don't think so, you'll be trading in your sunblock and shorts for a scarf and maybe a hand warmer. I wish. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Here's a look at some interesting facts about the unofficial first day of summer. First of all, a lot of people don't realize it actually ends on and begins on different dates on different years. The summer solstice happens between June 20th and June 21st, and that depends on the year and, of course, your time zone. In 2022, solstice fell just a couple days back now, on Tuesday, June 22nd, legally, quote unquote, at 5:14 a.m. in the morning, Eastern Daylight Time. So it's kind of unofficially, it's like the longest day of the year, kinda. Technically, it's not the longest day of the year because all days have the same number of hours, yeah. But the summer solstice is the day of the year that you will get the most hours of sunlight. That's what they mean. As the old Farmer's Almanac used to point out, I guess it still does, the opposite happens in the winter solstice. At that time of year, the sun is at its southernmost point and is very low in the sky. Therefore, its rays hit the northern hemisphere, that's where we are, folks, at an oblique angle, creating kind of a feeble winter sunlight. Actually, the actual time, the moment of summer solstice is when the sun is directly overhead the Tropic of Cancer at exactly noon. Way back when, the Tropic of Cancer got its name because the sun appeared in the constellation Cancer. However, because of the shifting of the Earth's axis, the Tropic of Cancer now has the wrong name. During the summer solstice, the sun now appears in the constellation Taurus. It's sort of the first day of summer, or not. The summer solstice may or may not kick off the summer, depending on who you ask. In meteorology, summer began on June 1st, but astronomers believe the summer solstice marks the start of the season. It all depends on whether you want to look at it in terms of meteorological seasons or astronomical seasons. Meteorological seasons are based on the annual temperature cycle, while astronomical seasons are based on the position of the Earth relative to our sun. Here's another little factoid about the solstice. It's a really big deal at Stonehenge. There have been many theories why the prehistoric monument was ever built, but the interpretation that's generally accepted is that Stonehenge was a temple aligned with the movements of the sun. The thousands of people gather there every year, sometimes dressed in Druid attire, to mark the moment in June of our summer solstice. A lot of folks don't realize other planets have solstices, I can't say that plural very well, also. As a matter of fact, back in 2016, Mars and Earth had solstices that fell just within a few days of each other. That's because Mars has such an eccentric orbit, so it's not as easy to predict. And even though this year it may not seem true, it is the longest day, but it's not the hottest day. Even though we get most hours of sunlight on the summer solstice, it's not the hottest day of the year. Those are still typically weeks away. As a matter of fact, the Old Farmer's Almanac kind of explains it this way. At the summer solstice, the northern hemisphere receives the most energy, highest intensity, I should say, from the sun due to the angle of the sunlight and the day length. However, the land and oceans are still relatively cool due to spring's temperatures. So the maximum heating effect on the air temperature isn't felt that early. Eventually, the land and especially oceans will release stored heat from the summer solstice back into the atmosphere. This usually results in the year's hottest temperatures appearing in late July, August, or sometimes even a little later, depending on latitude and other factors. This effect is called seasonal temperature lag. So I'll go off the deep end there, but that's just a little bit about the summer solstice that I happened to be literally talking to a couple of, they were high school kids. They weren't young kids and really didn't even know the word. They just knew that it was the longest day of the year. So anyway, I thought I'd give you a little update on the summer solstice. Here's a different take on what's going on with climate change that is certainly going to affect me. Climate change is going to reduce the amount of sleep that people get per year. Most research looking at the impact of climate change on human life is just focused on how extreme weather events affect economic and social health outcomes on a broad scale. Yet climate change is at some point also going to have a strong influence on fundamental daily activities, including a host of behavioral, psychological, and physiological outcomes that are essential to our well-being. Investigators now report that increasing ambient temperatures was going to negatively impact human sleep around the whole globe. The study shows their findings and suggests that by the year 2099, which I won't be here, most of us won't, but that's really not that far down the road, suboptimal temperatures are going to erode at least 50 to 70 hours of sleep per person per year. In addition, one thing they found that makes sense when you think about it, that the temperature effect on sleep loss is substantially larger for residents from lower income countries, as well as of course, older adults, and interesting, not just older adults, but more so females. The report indicates that sleep, an essential restorative process integral to human health and productivity, will be degraded by the warmer temperatures. Many scientists feel, as a matter of fact, in order to make informed climate policy decisions moving forward, we need to better account for the full spectrum of plausible future climate impacts extending from today's societal greenhouse gas emission choices to affecting individual wake and sleep cycles. It has long been known that hot days increase deaths and hospitalizations and worsen human performance. Yet, the biological and behavioral mechanisms underlying these impacts have not really been studied very well. Recent self-reported data from the United States have suggested that subjective sleep quality decreases during periods of hot weather, but how temperature fluctuations may impact changes in objective sleep outcomes in people living across a variety of global climates just remains unclear. We just don't have enough information. But it appears that this erosion occurs primarily by delaying when people fall asleep and by advancing when they wake up during hot weather. The data they've studied has been pretty extensive. It included 7 million nightly sleep records of more than 47,000 adults across 68 different countries and actually spanning all the continents except, of course, Antarctica. The study showed that on very warm nights, that's greater than 30 degrees Celsius, for those of us here where we are in America, that's 86 degrees. Sleep declines an average of about 14 minutes. The likelihood of getting less than 7 hours of sleep also increases as the temperatures rise. Early controlled studies in sleep labs found that both humans and animals, for that matter, sleep worse when the room temperature is too hot, but also too cold. But this research was limited by how people act in the real world. By that we mean most of us are able, at least to some degree, to modify the temperature of our sleep environment to become a little bit more comfortable with where we are. One important observation was that people in developing countries seem to be more affected by these changes. It's possible that the greater prevalence of air conditioning in developed countries plays a role. But the researchers could not definitively identify the reason because they did not have data on air conditioning access among the individual subjects. The researchers also noted that because they uncovered compelling evidence that the impact of warming temperatures on sleep loss is unequal globally, new research should especially consider more vulnerable populations, particularly those residing in the world's hottest and historically, incidentally, poorest regions of the world. In future work, the team would like to collaborate with global climate scientists, sleep researchers, and technology providers to extend the scope of the global sleep and behavioral analysis to other populations and contexts. Additionally, they're interested in studying the impact of rising outdoor temperatures on the sleep outcomes of incarcerated populations situated in hot climates, who may have particularly limited access to air conditioning of any kind. One more note of interest here. Our bodies are highly adapted to maintain a stable core body temperature, something that in some cases our life actually depends on. Yet every night that we do something, or a lot of people do, remarkable without most of us consciously knowing. We shed heat from our core into our surrounding environment by dilating our blood vessels and increasing blood flow to our hands and feet. This particular bit of knowledge now makes it make sense that many people that study sleep tell you the one thing you want to do, if you have the option to do it, is to keep your room a little cooler in the evenings when you're sleeping than even the rest of the house during the rest of the day. That way, when your natural blood vessels dilate, it gives a heat sink to your hands and feet so that your cooler temperatures makes it easier for your body to do its nightly cooling regimen. In another study I don't have in front of me, but I'll just tag it here since I've just got a 30 or 40 seconds to end this part of the show. The amount of light that is in your room when you sleep has a lot to do with how your body reacts and relaxes. More importantly, though, as importantly, and this is where the studies are getting new, not only is it the amount of light, it is the color of the light. Although the studies I saw, which is a very short study, was still ongoing, it seems to be that certain light colors stimulate the brain and others let your brain settle. Now, the one I read isn't conclusive, but they are, for instance, selling these blue blocker glasses now for people that do a lot of computer work and things, and claiming that they help at least some people. Now, I've seen both sides of that study, so I'm not gonna give a definitive answer on that yet. But the good news is we are studying it, and as we find out, I'll be sure and keep you guys informed. Maybe we're wearing the wrong color sunglasses. Who knows? Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matter.